Tom, first thing I want to do is get this out of the way. We're not going to waste a whole lot of time on this. I think we've already done that. I was talking about Paul St-Pierre Plamondon's decision to not swear an oath to the Queen, the King, or whatever it's going to be now, which the rules say you have to do to get a seat in the National Assembly. Just real quickly, is this much ado about nothing?
No, I mean, you shouldn't have to swear an oath to anything other than the Canadian Constitution, which, by the way, includes the fact that we are a constitutional monarchy. But making it personal that way, he's going to be able to dig in a little bit. I think that they're going to have to come up with a solution because, obviously, he'll get his seat in the National Assembly.
So they accommodate him. I mean, I think what bugs me about this, Tom, is that this is done behind closed doors anyway. So now we're talking about it. We're giving him way more attention than he would normally merit.
I kind of remember ours being public, so maybe they make them private now. But I can remember when I was reading the one that was put in front of me, I was to swear allegiance to the Constitution of Quebec. And I added, and of Canada.
Oh, good for you.
Good for you, Tom O'Care.
I love that.
All right. I just wanted to touch on that and we can move on. We talked about the Hockey Canada situation. We actually got some really interesting takes from people, and I'm curious what your take on this is. Justin Trudeau has weighed in on this, we were saying, I can't remember the last thing he might have stuck his nose into, at least at this level of government, mm-hmm. looking at a situation suggesting maybe it's time to break this organization up.
Well, three cheers for Justin Trudeau on this file. And this is beyond belief that these people are continuing. When they showed up in that committee this week with their lawyer, giving them her own mark, which was an A for everything that they've done, it's unbelievable. It's money of parents. I coached kids hockey for years on the West Island. And, you know, it's tough for a lot of parents. A lot of families, you know, the fees that you have to pay are expensive. The equipment that you have to buy is expensive. The transport, everything that goes with it. But parents, you know, want to make sure that their kids get an experience in life, including a team sport. And what's our team sport? Well, it's hockey. So it's an important thing for all of Canada. Who are these people? Mm-hmm. And Trudeau was just so spot on in his, I don't know if you caught this part, but he just said, well, okay, we don't have Hockey Canada, then we'll invent Canada Hockey and we'll just get rid of these guys. Look, once all those major sponsors are gone, once all the big provinces have started to pull out, they're going to have to wake up. They were in the process of trying to hire people, pay people to give them top marks like they do with that lawyer, like they were trying to do with other people they were hiring. This thing requires a full audit. Every penny of spending should be made public. Where did the money go? Yeah, there is government money in there. They're chasing that down. But there's also the equivalent of government money, because when you're an institution like that and you can tap into the money from every single parent whose kid is playing hockey across the country, you're accountable. And so far, they're saying, no, we get to decide all this stuff and we'll hire people to make a report on us and we'll set the terms of the report and we'll determine whether or not we make it public. Enough. Just get rid of them.
Oh,
every single last one of them. Get rid of them. And as Trudeau says, if that doesn't work, set up something new and say goodbye and go after the money. The provinces and the local associations can try to get their money back from these narrative wells.
I think it's so great that Hockey Quebec has said we're out.
And Ontario, too. I mean, they're just all pulling out one after the other.
And we're talking about the money. $9 million paid out to 21 complainants since 1989. It is shameful.
Yeah, but what also happened, is there non-disclosure in there?
Yeah.
So was some of these criminal acts, should these things have gone to the police legitimately? You know, we're all talking with good reason, because I think the Canadians made a mistake. But the kid that they signed there who did something horrible and illegal in Sweden had to cop up, you know, he had to admit what he had done. Mm-hmm. He was found to have broken the law. And, you know, He was found to have, you know, committed the act that he was blamed with, but he admitted it. There's at least that tiny bit. Whereas here, we don't even know. You know, we've got a bunch of people out there. We don't know whether they've done other things since then. Is there this sense that once you're in our national sport and you're making tons of money, you just have some sort of cloak of immunity and the regular rules don't apply to you? That's also a very bad image, and it's also a very bad lesson to be giving to kids.
It's got to end.
So you're kind of making a point. It was something that had been suggested when we talked about this earlier in the show today, Tom, the idea that maybe it's time to make these names public.
Of course they should be made public.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we do that, we make the names public, and then what, you serve a year or two in the penalty box and you resume your career after that? How would it work?
I don't know. I think it would depend a lot, Aaron, on the facts of each case. But, I mean, how is it possible to take that sort of pot of money, millions of dollars, and, yes, give some form of compensation to the victims, who are the only ones we should be thinking about in, you know, at the top of the list, but then what else has happened in these people's lives? So they were never prosecuted. It was never brought to the attention of the police. It was a deal. There's an NDA, I guess, non-disclosure agreement. Is that what we've been up against? And this is why the minister is up in arms over this thing. And this is why Trudeau is just saying, look, it's over. This thing's not going to go any further. And we'll do what we have to do to replace it.
Yeah, and how many are multimillionaires now and big, huge hockey stars? Yeah.
Yeah, and the money was paid not out of their future salaries or anything like that. It was paid out of the money of every single parent whose kid was playing hockey in Canada. That's the scandal here, but they apparently don't understand that.
Bye-bye, Hockey Canada.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
I should tell you, we spoke to Rick Westhead, of course, the guy who broke the story on sexual assault or alleged sexual assault back to 2018. And he brought up something we hadn't even considered, right? The fact that all these companies that have now stood up and said, we're severing our ties with Hockey Canada. The only one that's actually done it is Canadian Tire. All the others that have announced are basically just saying, we're going to suspend it for now. And he was giving us the impression that Hockey Canada, their crisis management team, has been told, hey, don't worry about this. Write it out. Eventually, people stop talking about this. It'll get forgotten.
Yeah, well, that's what they call a one-day wonder, right? In the field of communication at that level, saying, look, you know, this is, people are just going to lose interest. But this thing is actually, you know, once you've got the prime minister of the country standing in front of the cameras and saying, it's done, they're gone, they better come to that realization. But I do believe that they're so entitled, they're so used to living in their own little world, where they convince themselves that all they have to do is send in a lawyer, who's the interim chairman of their board, to say that she gives them top marks for all of their work.
Yeah.
It's just it's a caricature. For all future reference, anytime there's going to be a muck-up in an institution, in an organization of any kind, it's always going to be the reference point. You know, this reminds me of what we went through with Hockey Canada. They will become the reference for bad management, bad behavior, and total lack of respect for the public.
Well said.
All right, let's move on to this before we run out of time. So you have the Quebec law. Actually, let's talk about this. The Quebec Ministry of Health starting a new program in schools where teachers are going to be, did I read this right, Tom? They're going to have to supervise kids as they brush their teeth. What's the story here?
Yeah, and the teachers are up in arms, their unions are up in arms, and the parents are up in arms. So sometimes what starts off as a great idea, because, you know, I worked in one of my ridings in my political career had an area that was extremely poor, and the kids didn't have much personal hygiene and help. And the idea of showing kids, and sometimes kids will imitate each other and they'll learn that it's important, showing them that it's important to brush your teeth, that's a great idea. But I don't think we should be throwing out the toothbrush water with the baby, you know.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, our teachers are so badly paid to begin with. We already ask so much of them in a broken system and in schools that are laboratories for fungi, that maybe we should come up with another way of getting this done. Maybe make a deal with the Order of Dental Hygienists to get them to do a tour of the schools and show kids the basics and work, you know, around this. Give them a movie to watch, something that they can learn. Hand out. I'm sure that the toothbrush companies would be glad to provide samples. Hand out toothbrushes with a little bit of toothpaste and get the thing going. But the idea of adding this to the list, the infinite list of things that teachers are supposed to be able to do in a day, I don't think anyone thought this through.
You know, when I was a kid, it makes me think. So I went to elementary school in Stratford, Ontario, and they used to have people come in and give us fluoride treatments in the class. Like, the teacher was present as a supervisor, but an outside party came in and would do that. The same way they would have outside parties come in and do lice checks. But it was great, and it gets the kids engaged and involved in dental hygiene. So
it gets them to think about it, because maybe, you know, there's so many other things that are priorities at home. It's not something that ever gets done. So, yeah, it's the idea of letting them know that it's important in their lives.
Yeah, I hate when you make so much sense suggesting someone come in and, you know, give them free toothbrushes and toothpaste, which, of course, any of the companies in that business would love to do
to hook
a kid that early on. How did no one think of this and say, do we not have enough for teachers to do already? Now they're going to supervise this? I don't get it. But that's what happens to good ideas. They kind of die, Tom. So,
well, they die when they're badly executed.
Yeah.
So this is a very good idea that was put together without proper consultation.
Yeah.
And once you've lost the acceptability...